And a very good morning to you. This is the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You can reach us at 434-1790. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862, 266-IVOB, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. John the Land Stout returns to the producer's chair for today, Thursday, and I return to the host chair for today. I'm Dennis Johnson. We'll be your team until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Lists, blacklists, warning lists, like Gabby's list, we seem to be on everybody's list. It's interesting, the United States placed us on a warning list for copyright infringement. They're looking at us because we're not paying our dues. Apparently, they say our television stations are playing their stations without permission, and we're using their material without paying their licensing dues. So we're on their warning list. The EU will have us on a, threatening to put us on a blacklist for, they've gone now from taxes to money laundering. I smiled at that one for a reason, right? It was not a humorous smile. I know there are times that I chuckle and people think I'm laughing. I'm not. I smile at that one because we are in a peculiar position where a former member of government was arrested in the United States, charged and convicted of money laundering. And no charges were laid in Barbados against any of the parties allegedly involved in this entire episode. As a matter of fact, we had someone mention publicly that that the case would not have been called in Barbados anyhow. Now, if you have statements like this floating about the stratosphere and somebody picks it up and say, aha, that means your laws ain't strong enough, we can have a really hard time saying that it is. So sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot while trying to shoot whatever it is we're trying to shoot. Which brings me to the third thing that raised my eyebrows a little bit, and that is the admission by the COVID czar that there are two cases that do not fit the pattern of the other cases, and there may be evidence of community spread. What I have not seen is what action should be taken, what action has been taken. I'm not talking about panic and screaming and naming the area and shutting it down and locking it off. I'm talking about what the general public should do just to be a little more perhaps aware, make note of where they've been so that should anything happen, they can accurately account for their movement. I also thought it was sort of left-handed, I don't know if you want to call it a slap, that says perhaps people are where they're not supposed to be, so they're not admitting to being there. It's a kind of a half accusation that to me just seemed kind of strange, unless there's evidence to back this up that's not being shared with the public, which I suppose is permissible, since your private health matter is supposed to be between you and your doctor. Anyhow, that was my overnight musings. What's on your mind? Good morning.
Hello, hi, good morning, Dennis. Hello? Good morning.
My mic's going on. Okay, right. I'm back with you. Yes, sir. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
I'm not bad. How are you, man?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad. Mm-hmm. Look, I just find it extremely easy to talk to you, right? I mean, extremely easy to talk to you and talk with you because that's how you and I, we do conversations, right?
Mm-hmm.
This one, I really the keeping for Sanka. But you put early notice yesterday that you'll be back
today,
right?
They'll be back today, yeah, correct.
And how the trend go, I know that David normally closed down.
Correct. David is doing Monday and Friday, unless yes. Something comes up, yeah.
Good. So I don't think that I would hear Sanka.
Until Sunday.
Good, fine.
No, he and did last Sunday. Should be Corey on this Sunday. Yeah.
Good, okay. Well, before I forget, because this is this been being on my mind since Sunday, actually, since Sunday, because he fell in the curveball. That's why I don't want to deal with him. But you're just as good, and I know that you would give me, you would talk to me, you would talk to me. You wouldn't give me this special thing, but you would talk to me. Look, I want to speak about this NIS, right? Contributions. And I know this is somewhere halfway or three quarters way up your alley, right? Because I heard you pronouncing on it over the life and time that you was on the air. All right? And I could safely say that you're a big supporter of the NIS, right?
I am a supporter of that organization, yes, sir.
Good. Now, I was speaking to a friend of mine, and he told me that my words and my actions don't coincide. But and I could agree with you to some degree. But this is the thing. This is the thing. This is the way we want to get at with you. Self-employed people like myself, right? We could pay into the system. But at the same time, Dennis, will you believe it or not, that we can't draw down from the system like you or anybody else that is employed by an employer, that getting a pay package every month or every week. Just because we are self-employed people, the excuse is that we control our own destiny and we...
Let me clear up something here that has been, I think, a bug in the discussion. The National Insurance Scheme has several schemes. In other words, there's an unemployment benefit scheme, there's a health scheme, and there are several schemes. So if a pension scheme, that's the one I was reaching for just now. So if you contribute to your NIS pension scheme, it's called a contributory pension, you'll get paid from it when you retire. If you do not contribute to a health scheme, you can't claim health benefits. If you don't contribute to the unemployment scheme, you can't claim unemployment benefits. So the challenge is, what do self-employed people sign up for and what do they contribute to? And that is where the ambiguity comes around. Because it may mean that there's some self-employed people who are contributing to pensions. So when they are of pensionable age, they can claim a national insurance pension. If they're not contributing to the unemployment scheme, if they're not employed, they can't claim from that scheme. And that's where the ambiguity and the overlapping questions arise.
Well, Dennis, that's why I say that I like to talk to you, because you just talk with me.
I could talk about.
The truth is, over the years, over the years, there has been no provisions for we, the self-employed people, to pay in
to the unemployment benefit.
To the unemployment benefit, or you would say, well, I really don't know. I don't know about the health benefit of it. But yes, we could pay in to the pension fund.
Correct.
To the pension fund. Correct. But we get injured on the job too.
Correct.
But
I say no.
At the same time, we cannot, because there's no provisions there for we to draw them from that fund. Because it's so funny, and this is how I couched my argument the other day. Overnight, a few weeks ago, the Parliament of Barbados went to Parliament, because I remember Tom Adams, they tried to do it, and I don't think he was successful in it back in the day, the emergency power bill. But Miss Morley, in the brilliance of the cabinet, went to Parliament and get it done. Where is that the government of the day cannot look into this part of the system to see where they can make an adjustment, arrangement, you understand, by the Act of Parliament? We can't believe what I tell you, Dennis, believe me, I talked to a lot of my kind of guys, right? In the self-employed industry. We won't pay, you know.
Well, I'm not really saying, which is why I'm saying, I don't think that everyone who says that they can take care of themselves won't want to find other methods of helping to take care of themselves. For example, even though you may be working in a company that has a retirement benefit, even though you may have an NIS pension, people are still encouraged to have their own personal retirement fund started if they're making enough money.
I'd glad you gone there. 2 years ago, right? 2 years ago, an arrangement, right? They put up this thing about the health benefits and all that, you know, the health plan.
That they had a health plan for people over 50, yeah.
So much of my people went and signed up. But you know what happened? Right. You know what happened?
That's the one that changed?
Not 1 month. One payday.
Payment. Mm-hmm.
Payday. Not the month, the payday. Mm-hmm. And they get scattered up, you know. So that's what I'm saying to you, Dennis. A lot of my people would like to pay. Right? And it's often, I sure you hear this say, all the people that pay over the years because they was working, they had no control of their employee, taking out the money and sending it where it's supposed to take, where it's supposed to send, but that is legislated by law. I want to ask you this question, Dennis. If everybody, they get the full pay package in the hand and say, listen, you get $260, you're supposed to go and pay $18.26 down to the national insurance fund. You got to pay it in yourself. Do you believe, Dennis, I want to part with this, do you believe 99.9% of the community will carry it?
No, I wouldn't say 99%. I would say less than 99%. There are people who would take it. There are people who would. I'll tell you why. Believe it or not, there are people who understand the benefit of having a little something put aside for a rainy day. I have to tell you that. Sometimes we pick it up late in life.
I understand.
Sometimes we pick it up early enough, but sometimes we pick it up late in life. Again, from banking experience, when the bank that I worked at decided to have something called a 50-plus account, and they said it was to help you prepare for your retirement, so start thinking about retirement from 50 rather than when you get to 62 or 63, and they promised to throw in a little extra in the interest, I was surprised the amount of people who suddenly realized they were 50.
Dennis?
Yeah?
Give me one little piece up on that.
Go ahead.
And I go on. One little piece and I go on, right? You remember the days when you go to buy a new car and the funds, you had to take the funds to the bank to pay for the new car loan?
Yeah, correct.
You remember it was legislated that this new car loan now could come out of your, directly of your salary?
Your salaries, correct.
What would happen, the bank would keep one of the car keys.
Yeah,
remember that, right?
Yeah, because they used to they used to give somebody the car key to go and take it back when they wanted.
Exactly. So this is what I'm saying to these people that like to beat up on people like me and say, man, you don't pay my taxes, man. Happy to pay a what? Were you friends in society as me, buddy? If they mandate to take it out your salary up front, you didn't get pay a cent. But I can tell this is right. I am a supporter, right? I'm a supporter, and I would encourage all of my fellow self-employed artisans, right, to pay. And if I got to lead by example, I can do that because it is a benefit, and especially now at this thing, right? In the COVID exercise, we need the NS now more than ever.
But let me say this to you, right? I have now seen 4 WhatsApp messages that say the same thing. How will you know that a self-employed person is not claiming unemployment while still working? It must be. So apparently they feel that self-employed persons can claim to be unemployed and continue to work. Let me put it that way.
I don't have a problem if you say you got police to be a little more diligent. I don't have a problem with that. Okay. But you know what? I know of people that said that when they get that certificate and said they can't work too.
And they're working somewhere else. So I People have, let me say this, and I know I get licks for saying so. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why some honest people suffer is because dishonest people have abused the system. Sick leave, unemployment benefits, you name what it is, whatever it is. Especially during this COVID period, there are people who are seeking to get all that they can from employer, government, whomever, because they see it as being a chance to get back some of my money that I pay in there and I ain't claim and nothing ain't happen.
And you ain't claim for 5 Correct. 6 years.
Correct.
Thanks a lot, Dennis.
No problem, sir. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hey, good morning.
I spoke to you on Friday. Mm-hmm. And I called primary to talk about press conferences, the lack of press conferences, and the fear that there might be community spread. So I don't normally refer to callers, especially callers who I don't, their contribution really does not, isn't meet my standard. But there was a caller who called, and I noticed he's allowed to go on and on, usually uninterrupted. He disagreed and sought to give the impression that what I was saying was wrong. I had referred to Trinidad only insofar as to point out and to compare that Trinidad, every day they were holding a press conference on the COVID-19 with the Minister of Health, the Chief Medical Officer, the Minister of Social Services, and the Minister of Communication. That's the only reference I was making to Trinidad. He sought to go into the whole question of how much tests they've done and that sort of thing, and to critique what I was saying against that. He did not connect with what I was saying. And talk about no community spread. He seems to be an authority on everything. But I try to read, and where I don't understand, I ask questions of persons who I think may have information. I did say to you in that conversation that, and I listened back to it, it seemed to suggest, based on what was said to us, the person had no contact with person travel overseas, didn't have a travel history, etc., etc. It seemed to suggest community spread. This morning, I got on my WhatsApp a number of persons posting to me about an Instagram post on The Nation, and I'm told that the COVID czar also had an interview on Good Morning Barbados, CBC morning show, TV show, and there's an Instagram post from The Nation saying that there are two cases of community. Barbados has reached the stage of community spread of the coronavirus, but government says there's no need to panic. I couldn't go into the thing because it's locked in under The Nation.
It's on the front page of today's Nation, actually, and I started by referring to it. He says
there
are two cases. Okay, I'm just saying. He said there are two cases that they cannot determine how they may have been exposed, but so they're treating it as community spread. However, there is no widespread. The Nation has widespread spread. I can't say widespread spread. It will not trip off my tongue lightly. So there is no widespread. There is no spread of the virus in the communities. That was what the front page of the newspaper said. But there are two cases. The other thing I said it at the start. The other thing that the Tsar mentioned that I thought was, perhaps there's evidence to back up what he said, but I thought it was a little offbeat when he said that perhaps people will not stay where they were, and that's why they can't trace. Well, in other words, if I spent the night by you, and I don't want to say I spent the night by you because I shouldn't be there, I will not say where I may have picked up the virus. And if then I spent another night by somebody else who I should not be by, that's two people that I can't say I was there because I should not be there. So when they asked me to say everywhere I've been, I would say I wasn't by you and I wasn't by the other person either.
But you see, Dennis, this is what happens when you have a non-medical person seeking to explain a medical matter. And I will go back to my original opinion and point that I made. I think it's the last press conference we had where journalists asked questions was around the time of the cluster with the National Assistance Board. Around that time, there were three ministers, and I may be wrong, but I think the day after or the night at the there was the medical officer and the czar or the deputy medical officer, Dr. Anton Bessendiz. I think there was a night.
I disagreed with you then, and I disagree with you again, because it is possible for a medical doctor to say terminology that satisfies the medical practitioner, and the average man in the street does not understand the medical jargon. And someone who is articulate can articulate the point without having a medical degree.
Well, then,
and have it understood.
We will agree to disagree.
Agreed. No problem.
Yeah, the point I'm making is that something as serious as this COVID-19, and this is my central point, there should be press conferences. Even if you didn't want to do them on a daily basis, there should be regular press conferences at a set time. And I think at the last time
I agreed with you on that.
We agreed with that.
Correct.
And I said also... This meant to talk about community spread. There are questions that the journalist would perhaps put to the Tsar that he has to refer back to the doctor. This is, he could only speak about this in the context of social matters, policies, etc. But even the whole way of describing persons who don't want to say where they were, etc. I think this is a serious disease. And it is critical
let us be serious here for a minute, right? If the COVID czar came out and said, two people have contracted the illness, we do not know how they've contracted it because so far what they've told us does not fit the pattern we've been following, and then says what I just said to you may be the reason, the man could be sued for casting aspersions and making statements about people that he should not make. And doctors cannot, according to their Hippocratic Oath, say what is wrong with a patient, which is another problem again, that we don't seem to understand, especially about viruses and where people could be stigmatized and get into trouble for having it. One of the reasons why I am always very open about what I have is because I have no problem with it. Right? But there are people, doctors have asked me on occasion, do you want me to tell your employer what's wrong with you? And I say to them, you go right ahead. And there are times I've said to them, you could put whatever you want to put. And there are times I've said, no. Because I remember a doctor saying to me, I can't tell you you have a headache. I can tell you I have no medical reasons for you having a headache, but I can't tell you you don't have one. Ma'am, the challenge of dealing with this is twofold. One, we may have doctors who are very capable doctors, but are not efficient communicators. They don't speak clearly. They don't speak well. I'm not saying that the Tsar does or does not. Hold on. But if he is the manager of the illness, that's what he's supposed to be, managing the response to the illness. He can refer to anybody at any time for clarification, for backup, for explanation. He can say the information I have is A, B, C, D, E, F, G. What we plan to do is so. And if a journalist says, but why are you doing it? He says, well, there are medical reasons. Dr. George, can you tell them what they are? Or Dr. Smith, can you say why we're not doing this? Or Dr. So-and-so, can you say whether we do or we do not have enough vaccines or whatever? But he's managing the process. And okay, I don't see why we keep picking on the Tsar, because he does not have MD after his name. There's a guy on CNN called Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
Yeah.
Right? He's a neurosurgeon just at Ben Carson. But he has been talking on all kinds of things. And people just call and say, Dr. Sanjay Gupta said, the man is a neurosurgeon. Yeah. So if he could pronounce on anything and be a neurosurgeon, because he could talk good, what's the problem with the Tsar?
Well, first of all, let me say to you, I don't understand picking on. I am just expressing opinion.
Okay, others have. That's why I said that. Others have made a comment about the Tsar. I've seen it, and that's why I said so.
Okay, fine.
I'm not accusing you of it.
No problem. I'm expressing an opinion as to what I feel should obtain. And I look at all the other countries on this COVID-19 virus, that handling of it. And there seems to be a pattern where the medical persons are upfront. I understand you, because when I spoke to you last, I said to you, they have to be careful using all over, it's not only the medical persons, but the Tsar, the ministers, everybody, using medical terms, and they need to be more simple in how they describe certain things. That could be a situation for Disa especially, and probably ministers. But I am saying, we have not had press conferences. We have not had the medical persons out there speaking to us. This is a new and dangerous stage, the whole question of community spread. Because what can happen in community spread? There are persons, large number of them, we are told, who are asymptomatic. They don't show signs of the disease.
Correct.
So persons can be in the supermarket and the minibus traveling from St. Lucie to St. Philip and not coughing, don't have a fever, et cetera, but have the virus. So we need to have more discussion on this. This is not a time for hiding information, or if not hiding, not producing information, not being open with the public. I am concerned about that. Can I just end on this one point, Dennis?
Sure.
I noticed that in today's newspaper, we had the Attorney General, Mr. Dale Marshall, say he has no intention of engaging in a tit-for-tat
with outspoken
opposition Senator Caswell Franklin. Senator Caswell Franklin, from all my observations, seems to be a person well-versed in Barbados law, public service regulation, etc. Usually he's right when he makes his point. And Senator Franklin has been saying that the appointment of a secretary deputy commissioner of police is ultra-virus law, because there is only one place in the law for a, and there's one position of deputy commissioner of police, which is already being held by Mr. Irwin Boyce. And therefore, to have a second deputy, you have to go to the Police Act and change it. This is not the only time he has said to us, he's sending signals to Barbados that even though we are in a COVID-19 crisis, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We have to observe what's going on in our parliament. He spoke about the changes to the Emergency Powers Act, where usually the powers under an emergency, state of emergency, etc., the cabinet is given powers to make certain law. He said, and Mr. Joseph Attlee raised it as well, and Mrs. Verla de Pisa, former senator, who said that they brought in this amendment. It wasn't initially proposed with the changes to the act, and Senator Caswell was saying to us, they already had the powers in the Emergency Power Act. However, they changed it. And then while discussing it, they slipped in an amendment which moved the power from the cabinet. So the prime minister, and gave it to the prime minister, who can make all laws, etc. That is a very dangerous step and needed further explanation on. I heard nothing about it from the media or academics at Cavill, nothing else. And on third instance, where Mr. Andrew Pilgrim, QC, the Bar Association and others were speaking about a change to the law as it relates to trial by jury, etc. The government had not consulted with the Bar Association, with attorneys, put it to the public, nothing like that. They just went and they made these changes. I am saying, do not let COVID-19 be the excuse for things to happen and information to be hidden or not properly discussed or not properly put to the public. And one instance of this, in my view, that I'm very concerned about, is the lack of press conferences with medical persons giving us details about what is going on. You spoke about how we address COVID. They could talk about how we address this community spread, etc. There's so many things that need to be asked. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you as well, ma'am. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hey.
I want to weigh in on two things, the NIS and the geriatric hospital.
Okay.
Now, I'm saying that it should be mandatory that anybody working in Barbados should pay NIS. This would be a means of phasing out the non-contributory pension. They should pay to all categories of the NIS. Self-employed people should pay to all categories of the NIS.
Okay.
They file for unemployment, they should be made aware that people will have to come, that they will be subject to inspection, okay? A person could turn up anytime.
To see whether or not they're working.
NIS to see if they are working or not.
Makes sense.
And if they are found working, they would not be given the unemployment.
Okay. Here's the other question then. And this is another one that was thrown up on the WhatsApp. If I cook at home, and I say I'm injured on the job, what do I do?
So you are a chef?
Well, I cook. I ain't calling myself a chef yet. I am a cook.
You are a cook. You mean you cook to sell food?
Correct. I cook. I cook food at home, and the people at Starcom buy it from me, and I bring it and deliver 5 or 6 packages a day. And I say, this burn on my hand. I understand that, but the person was saying that. But what the person was saying was that it's difficult for a self-employed person to prove that they were injured on the job. Now, I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I guess they mean if you're on a construction site and you fell, people would see you. If you're sewing at home and you say a machine needle gone through my hand, I'm injured on the job. If there's nobody in the house, how do you prove it? But I mean, you have a machine needle in your hand, right? So, but anyway, but that was the question that was asked. I know there are just some issues with self-employed people about proving whatever it is. But go ahead, sir. I'm following you. And by the way, I agree with you in principle, that everybody should contribute to the all sectors of the fund.
All things. And I think there should be legislation when employers do not pay the national insurance, that action should be taken against them.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that the coconut vendors.
Correct.
You know it's possible for a coconut vendor to sell $1,300 in coconut water in a day. All he has to do is sell 100 half-gallon bottles of coconut water at $13. And he has $1,300. And there's some coconut vendors that make that money 7 days a week.
Not surprising. So there are people who make a good living off of doing things that we do not consider to be, quote, regular employment, end of quote. And they make good money from it. They live comfortably.
All those people now should be brought in the net, okay, the NIS net.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why the government isn't passing the necessary legislation and so on to embrace these people.
So because I think I don't know if it's because of a person's right to do what they choose. There are people at both ends of the scales, because yesterday I mentioned, for example, the lawyers and doctors who say, look, I don't need to do this. That safety net is not for me. I have my own. I'm capable of taking care of myself. I don't want the state looking after me. There are people who say so.
But if it comes a
time.
And that
including your taxes.
If it comes a time and they're not able to take care of themselves, they have to receive a non-contributory pension.
Well,
they become a burden down to the state.
Yeah, I know that.
So the state is just covering itself to weed off a number of these people off of welfare and so on. All right, the other thing is, there was a problem with the geriatric hospital, okay, that parts of the building was beginning to crumble or something like that.
Yeah, I heard that it was going to be torn down. Yeah,
but I don't think there's a need to tear it down. Anytime a building is built out of solid stone, over a period of time, the solid stone begins to crumble.
Mm-hmm. Because water gets into it, it's porous and all sorts of things. Yeah.
Right. There's a product now on the market named Bulbon that you can use. It comes in 5 gallon, and contractors and so on should know about that. So you will be able to go and quote the services with this Bulbon thing, and it will stop the thing from crumbling.
Okay. Cost.
Okay, then.
Hold on. What's the cost? Don't run. I was asking what's the cost. Because, you see, one of the problems...
There's some Williams there, the agent for that there.
I just asked cost because of this reason, right? The argument is sometimes made, and by the way, let me also say, put on the table bluntly, I like our buildings. I think we should preserve our heritage as far as possible. And I find places like the geriatric hospital, the A, B, and C blocks around the garrison are heritage buildings that I have a lot of heart for. Even chattel houses, I have a lot of heart for it. But businesses sometimes say it is easier or cheaper, less expensive, and the other people say, no, it's not, for them to tear it down because people start complaining about moisture in the wall and you're getting sick and mold and mildew and on and on. And there is always this argument around how much does it cost to keep it and how much does it cost to tear it down. Now, I know you cannot put a value on heritage, but that's the consideration sometimes. I would hate to think that any building that is as beautiful as the museum, the geriatric hospital, the A, B, and C blocks around the garrison disappear from the landscape of Barbados. It would pain me greatly. The drill hall, St. Anne's Fort, you know, I mean, we lost too many good buildings already. That's the truth. So if there are ways to keep it, yeah.
Yeah, there might have been another motive for the proposed demolition of the geriatric hospital. Because, you know, it was being mooted that they wanted to construct a hotel at the government headquarters.
Well, I have said so for so long now that I thought it was me they heard.
So
I have often said that the day a prime minister stands up on the balcony of government headquarters on Bay Street, right, with a glass of a little liquid in his or her hand and gaze at the beauty of them yachts over there, so Carlisle Bay, they'll say, man, look, this is a good place to put a hotel here. I could get up every morning and order room service from up here. But yeah, I heard that, sir.
Right, and I suppose they were...
They want the back for the geriatric hospital.
To get more space.
Well, they have the GIS building next door that they could take to. Look, the truth is, if you look at the other side of the road for a second, the coastal zone unit had, still an ugly piece of concrete on the parking lot by where people go to park to go and bathe on Bronx Beach. That building ugly. And the last time I looked at it, it looked derelict to me that people break into it or whatever. Why it's still standing? We want tear down, the geriatric hospital. Why that building standing? The building ugly. It ain't doing anything. If you want to turn it into a place where people could sit down and have breakfast after they bathe or whatever, turn it over to the private operators that got canteen and things outside, go ahead and do it. It on the beach. Buy it ugly. Paint it in some other color than whatever it in. Put a nice big Barbados thing with, a seascape on it. Bless somebody. The building horrible. But it's sitting down there doing, I don't know what. I want to rent it and open a radio station. You think they'll rent it to me? Anyhow, I do. Sir, have a good one. Thank you for the conversation,
okay.
Sir. Be good. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
What do you think, Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
Good to hear you back again, my brother.
It's good to be back, sir.
And good morning and greetings to John and all of our listeners. I sure we all agree that we are living in what you can be called critical times. We have to deal with a plague that is causing great proportions around the world. We have to deal with an attitude of people, lovers of themselves, lovers of money, headstrong, not obedient to parents, fierce, etc. And to add to that, a hurricane season is coming, along with a blacklisting. We can say from that without doubt that we are living in what you can call critical times. Now, we do not know how the future will go towards our economy. So we need to show some contentment, because the Apostle Paul said that 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, we brought nothing into the world, neither can we carry anything out. But with food and covering, we shall be content with these things. When disaster strikes, they affect us three ways negatively. It affects our happiness, it affects our economy, and it most of all affects our anxiety. As humans, we need to be careful with our eyes, because what our eyes see actually goes into our heart. And I just want to share a brief example. There had a man that named Lot. I guess the majority of people know about Lot. Lot was a farmer. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. Both were farmers. But they had a dispute between their farmhands. So Abraham chose Canaan, while Lot chose the better part of the Jordan. It says that Lot moved among the city. Then he moved next to Sodom. Eventually, Lot moved into Sodom, even acquiring a house. The Bible doesn't say what happened to Lot, herdsmen, or his cattle, or anything like that. But you see, a lot of people might know Sodom as a wicked place. But Sodom was also a prosperous place with commerce. So it's a possibility that the commerce probably drew Lot away from the farming. But we know the outcome of Lot and his wife. His wife looked back and turned a bill of salt. She probably liked living in the city more than living in tents with cattle. But the end part is where Lot ended up. Lot ended up living in a cave. After living and having animals and stock and a farm, even had a staff, he ended up living in a cave with his two daughters. Would you say Lot was contented? He wasn't greedy for sure. But you see, Mr. Johnston, what we see wrong us can draw us into contentment. Barbados is a country that, when you look at before the plague, you could consider as a prosperous, a prosperous country, so to speak. But now look where we are. So we have to try now and be contented with the things we have. And I will just conclude there by that. So I thank you, Mr. Johnston, for spending your time with me. And you and the listeners, have a good morning. I'll continue listening to the program.
Thank you very much, sir. Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks, 4341-790. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Or you can send an email, WhatsApp to 266-4862. Sorry, 266-IVOB. I thought the non-contributory NIS pension is being phased out, says this WhatsApp short message. And another one says, an associate of mine said government should sell government headquarters to Hotelier, and I agree, move to Warren's. Boy, Warren's going to need a whole makeover. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Glad that the Government Information Service put out that information, because there have been several WhatsApp messages asking about the police stopping people. And you will note that the GIS said that the curfew runs from period then to period then, and time from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. So there's a general curfew time, and there's a specific overnight curfew time. So police only following the law and the interpretation of the law. Now, the reason why they are lawyers and their courts is because when people object to either the charge being laid against them or the time, they can go to the law courts and have it rectified. So we're in two curfew periods, a curfew that runs from that date to that date and from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. I ain't getting into the legal right or wrong. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. DJ.
What's up, sir?
Hey, I'm fine. Just got a few points I want to get over to you. This is the first time I speak to you on the program anyhow, so good morning to you, the producer, and the listening public.
Good morning to you too again, sir.
Right, right. Now, I want to know if I have my stuff stand outside of my gate.
If you have your what?
My garbage stand.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. It has a cover on it.
Right.
Now, I respect the garbage people very much and the job that they are doing. I put up my garbage very neatly and tidy, and I put it inside my can.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if then the guy take the stop with my can, if he's supposed to throw the cover on the ground and leave it, or if he's supposed to cover back my can.
So this has been a challenge for householders. They've raised it on more occasion about the manner in which the garbage disposal units, cans in particular, treated by members of the SSA. People say they throw it on the road, they roll it along the ground, they leave it tilted over, the cover is one place, the can is the other place. Sometimes the can gets crushed, and, you know, depending on the material, and there have been challenges with the can. I don't think that people's property should be ill-treated, especially if they spent money and they've taken the time to provide a receptacle rather than to just stack the garbage by the side of the road, or they just throw things that, you know, would cause the gentleman to be distressed. In other words, things that would injure them, broken bottle, glass. So I think taking the time to at least put the cans back, you know, may or may not put the cover on it, provided they don't leave the cover in the road for some car to run over it. But they should treat your property with a little respect. And you, the same way you try to treat them with a little respect by making sure that your garbage is, you know, neatly tied and in bags, and they don't have to try to lift a 25-pound can. They should at least meet you halfway.
My question is this. Is not their duty for alcohol to cover on the can?
Well, I don't know what the duties are, sir. I can't tell you that. I cannot tell you because I have never seen the duty list for a person with the SSA. I could ask my brother Alf to tell me what it is.
But I would like to find that out, because
no problem.
I don't this morning I spoke to a guy very politely. Mm-hmm. And according to the Belgians, he lied me a cast. We'll get from alcohol on the cover on the can. Some expletive that you use that would not be
airworthy. It would not be airworthy.
That is one. So I want to find out that. Next thing is, right, I want to call about this guy issue. I've been trying to get on the program now for a couple of weeks very well. I want to admit first and foremost up front, I display kite. I do not leave with my kite on a night. I do not encourage nobody to leave with a kite on a night. Now, I would not be in agreement with anybody to fly kite on a night. The question I want to ask, is kite flying not one of our cultures?
It has been a part of the culture of most of the countries I've lived in, sir, so I suppose it is our culture.
Good. The same way it's crop over, right? Good. So why is it that I'm hearing people calling in and they are very adamant about trying to ban kite flying?
No, they don't want to ban kite flying. I think what they want to do is to have laws that say you can't fly your kite between our X and our Y, like 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Good, correct. So that there's no law that prohibits you from flying a kite during the day?
The only law that I know prohibits the flying of kites is in the vicinity of the Grantley Adams Airport, because it interferes with the radar and incoming flights and so on. There are certain areas that are, but hold on. There are other areas in Barbados, and I don't know if the law covers that. I'll have to check. But there are other areas in Barbados that are considered silent zones. For example, outside the hospital, the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, outside the psychiatric hospital in Black Rock. Although people blow their car horns and make other noises in the vicinity of those places. And I haven't heard anyone arrested yet for blowing their horn in a silent zone, but they're silent zones. So I suppose flying your kite near the psychiatric hospital or near the silent zone by the hospital, Queen Elizabeth Hospital, would also be frowned on. Yeah.
Good, correct.
Day or night.
But not in St. Lucie.
Well, I can't see why, unless the planes come in to land at a new airport up there.
Okay.
I can't see that.
That's what I wanted to find out. Good. Now, Kwapova is our culture too, right? But I hear,
yes, sir.
You said that some people just want the kite to stop flying during it. But I hear people on the calling program say they want the nonsense to stop once and for all.
I heard that.
They indicate to me that they are trying to ban kite flying. Now, kite making is an art, first to begin with. There are fellas in Barbados that make a lot of money from making kite. I have a friend that makes kite, and he got laid off from his job. And he told me, I remember him January this year, he told me the money that he made last year from selling kites That's why I bought his block, his stone, and his sand to build up his house that he's working on right now. So I want to know, since that is an art, sorry, a culture, white people is trying to get it. It is very adamant about even Santa Claus doing it there. No.
So because it's annoying them?
But that's
the only reason.
There's a lot of other things that people should be buying about apart from Santa Claus doing it there. I don't want to see that if you hoist a kite at 8 o'clock and you put a new kite at 5:30 or 6. I don't see that should be a problem to anybody.
So because they say the constant noise all day long is noise pollution and it's annoying them from enjoying the sanctity and the safety of their home and the peace and quiet of the house they built in their retirement years, or it's annoying them from working because they're working from at home and they got to do recordings and the noise in the background disturbing their sound. So people have all kinds of reasons for complaining, you know. So when, listen, the noisy bikes, you have the noisy car mufflers, you have the air horns, all those things people have complained about, including the guides.
Correct. Good.
So they have.
Good.
Now, some of them are not considered cultural, although, as I've agreed with you, kite flying is. But go ahead, sir.
Great. Now, I was wondering, and this is only my opinion, you say earlier that we just use crop over to bring revenue into the island. Why is that we cannot use the same kite plan at Easter, because it's just a seasonal thing once a year? Why can't we use the same kite plan as a tourist attraction to bring revenue to the island this area instead of having the next one that's about the kite plan?
So it can be done. You can have kite building competitions. As a matter of fact, again, Monica Broom, Martin Boyce, various other people who worked in activities departments at hotels have had kite teaching visitors how to make kites, teaching them how to fly kites on the beach, kite flying competitions as part of the activities for visitors to Barbados. I've seen certainly men trying to build kites, certainly as large as the front of Starcom network, and trying to get it in the air. And sometimes they succeed, sometimes they fail. So you have the most colorful kite, you have the largest kite. The nation used to have a kite flying competition on the garrison that was well supported over the years. So there are opportunities for people to be a part of the cultural experience of Barbados using kite flying as part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, but I can't disagree with you on that.
So here's the problem that we got to overcome. The problem we have to overcome is not confusing the art of making a kite or the art of flying a kite with what is considered to be noisy intrusion or a nuisance. And that is where the line gets drawn when people start saying ban it, because they now consider it to be a nuisance and not an art. And that's the problem.
But if my memory serves me correct, when I was a youngster growing up, there used to be way more kites in the air at Easter time than what we have now. The air used to be more noisier than kites than the noise that we're getting now from kites. And people, I found that people nowadays is using the kite issue as an alibi for everything. People calling and saying, oh, children homeschooling, annoying children from studying. I see children studying, they had phone on their ears, listening to music and studying at.
I know that too, sir.
I see children watching
TV. Again, you're not listening to what I tell you, or you're not understanding what I tell you. The word I keep using for you to hear is nuisance. They do not consider the music they're listening to nuisance. That's the point. You may consider it nuisance. I mean, some of the things I hear the fellas in Hot listening to, for example, I won't listen to it. I consider it noise and nuisance. But they could work with it. Now, if I decided to play Fausto Papetti or Mario Lanza or something, they will be annoyed because to them that's a nuisance. To me, I relax. So, pan music. I like pan music. So, if there's a pan yard next to me, and I'm accustomed to it, it ain't gonna be a nuisance. If a plane fly overhead where it not accustomed flying, I would jump because I didn't expect a plane over my head. So the word is nuisance, okay? But I will not disagree with you. And let me say this again for perhaps the third or fourth time. I will not disagree with you that there are some people who, because they do not like kites or because it has annoyed them for a period of time, that they have now turned away from it, even though they may have flown kites as a child.
That's the point I was going to get to. Some of the same people that call them the kites. No, they still fly kites when they were younger.
Sir, I know that. Sir, I know people who stopped flying kites when they brought in bat kites and plastic kites they could assemble, because to them that was not a kite. They did not like it. It didn't make a noise. They didn't build it themselves. They didn't stick it with glue. They didn't wrap it with twine, and so they didn't like it. So they stopped flying kites when everybody was rushing and buying plastic kites and teaching their children
how to fly kites. No, a lot of people support Papua because Papua will bring revenue into the economy.
Mm-hmm.
But consider Papua. You got women going down the road, all them spring down a half naked and walking up. A lot of vulgarity. People support
it's not
that.
A nuisance.
About that.
It's not a nuisance.
Unless
it's their wife or their daughter with somebody else.
You know why that is not a nuisance? Because it brings filthy liquor into the island, and that's why that the world is the way it is. Money is ruling a lot of things, and that's what got the world as it is.
Well, sir, here's what we can do, right? We can make the kites, and we can sell them. We can make the kites, we can put the best of Barbados kites, and put them at the Grantley Adams Extended New International Airport under, you know, renovation, and when guests are leaving, they take a kite of having taught them how to fly it on the beach at Beaches or Sam Lord's Castle. If the wind is high enough up there, you got the rocks out there, you could go and hoist a kite. There's some open fields around. If it does not annoy the people in the luxury apartments and condominiums that will be built out there. Sir, there are aspects of our culture that are heartwarming. There are aspects of our culture that become nuisances. There are aspects of our culture that we can encourage, and there are elements of our culture that we could curb. I love dogs. I've always had a dog for as long as I can remember. But if a dog is barking all night long and my neighbor can't sleep, my dog is a nuisance to that neighbor. He may be defending my property, but he's a nuisance to my neighbor. So if my neighbor comes to me and knocks on my door and says, Mr. Johnson, your dog barking all night long and it's annoying me, I can't tell him it's a dog he can bark. What I have to hear is it annoying me. And if my neighbor has security lights that burn in all night long and noise doesn't affect me but light does, and I go across to my neighbor and I say to him, your security light's keeping me awake, he could tell me it protected my property. But what he should hear is me saying, your light's annoying me. So we have to understand when what we do to secure ourselves becomes a nuisance, because that's when people start complaining. But I hear what you say. I hear somebody tell me, Dennis, listening to music on headphones is not the same as noise in the background when you're on the computer. When the children are doing classes, they're asked to mute the microphone because the mic picks up all the noises around. Yeah, not only that, they also tell them to tell their parents stop walking around naked in the background and cussing, because I saw that too. yeah, we're discovering a lot of things because of COVID-19, boy. I saw that note somewhere. I went, okay, all right, well, here we go.